Hey everyone, welcome to the Overflow Podcast, where pastor, author, speaker, and consultant Jim Stern explores various benefits and blessings of life lived in the overflow of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's love. There is so much to discover, to learn, to feel, and to see when God goes first and we live in the overflow.
Welcome back into Overflow. Great to be here with you in the moving of the Father and the moving of the Son and the moving of the Holy Spirit as we in Trexo seek to train the ready individuals, churches, ministries that are ready for breakthrough, next level, ready to find those things that they know have been missing. We train the ready in kingdom gaps that will ignite very specific areas of our faith, kingdom gaps that we have never been trained in or have been under-trained, if you will, or have received some bad or impotent teaching in. We train the ready in kingdom gaps that ignite passion, inner fire, vitality, that ignite passion and channel that passion into God-ordained, created purpose, running the race that God our Father has created us to run. So we train the ready in kingdom gaps that ignite passion and purpose. In our season of Overflow 2024, we've been looking at Jotham and carving out of Jotham's life. Jotham was a king in Judah. You can read his story, 2 Chronicles 27. And carving out of Jotham's life key elements of what it looks like to live a life that God our Father has set us apart to live. And we have discovered from Jotham's life three key elements. We got to be who God our Father has called us to be. We got to build. We got to be about the building projects that God our Father has called us to build, his building assignments. And then we have to fight. We got to fight the fights that God our Father has called us to fight. And here's a tricky thing. We can only fight the fights that God our Father has called us to fight. And we're not fighting his fights along with a whole bunch of other fights. We are only fighting the fights that God our Father has called us to fight. So from the life of Jotham, 2 Chronicles 27, we're going to be, we're going to build, we're going to fight. We spent a lot of time talking about being in the life of Jotham. We spent a little bit of time talking about building. We're going to dig into a little bit further of what it means to build. What is this building thing? I want to get building right in my life. I want to put my hand on kingdom building assignments. What does that look like? We get some really good, strong, meat on the bone understanding about building, the kingdom building from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 13. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 13. This is a very, very, very sobering couple of verses. The Apostle Paul writes this. He's discipling people in the church in Corinth, training them in how to build correctly. And he says this, "Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, whatever the material is, each man's work is going to become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward." Wow. So, according to the Apostle Paul, one day you're going to stand before our Father. I'm going to stand before our Father. I'm going to give an account. You're going to give an account for your life. With you will be all that you have given your hand to build. All that you've given your hand to build. Blood, sweat, and tears. Whatever you've given your blood, sweat, and tears to is going to be there with you. And it is going to get lit on fire. It's going to get lit on fire. That which you built that was useless is going to be burned and will be turned to ash. Whatever remains is that for which you will be rewarded by our Father. And I say, whoa, whoa. As you imagine yourself standing before your Father and giving an account for your life, how would your building projects fare in his fire so far? How would they fare? You're standing before our Father. Everything that you built is around you. It gets lit on fire. What's left? I mean, I want to speak into your life. I want to jar you. I want to pour cold water on you. I want to shock you. I want to cattle prod you and awaken you to the severity of the reality of these verses and the benefit, the blessing, the power that's available to you if we can understand these things correctly. Because I think these verses make sense. In the example of King Jotham, think about this. In the example of King Jotham, let's make sure we're laying this foundation correctly. In the example of King Jotham, in 2 Chronicles 27, imagine if Jotham built whatever he wanted to build. Imagine he built whatever it is that he wanted to build, not seeking any direction from the Lord. Remember, the Lord is the one who made Jotham king. We look at Jotham and go, how did you have the title that you have? Because the Lord, Yahweh, God our Father, made him king. At the end of his life, Jotham stands before Yahweh and gives an account for his life. And with Jotham are all of the building projects that he has built in his life. And Yahweh evaluates them and says, yeah, you know, these are nice, you know, whatever. But none of these are what I created you to build. None of them. Fire comes. Nothing is left. Everything Jotham gave his life to is turned to ash. Why? Because while Jotham was made to be king by the Lord, he chose to build whatever it is that he wanted to build. And if you see that, if you can imagine that happening, that story happening, it would make sense. God our Father did not make Jotham king so that Jotham could go off and do whatever the heck it is that he wanted him to do, that he wanted to do for himself. God our Father made Jotham king for very strategic reasons to live into his identity, to build out of his being, I made you to be king, therefore you're going to go build according to who I've made you to be, and I've got assignments to do. And Jotham chooses to reject that and build whatever the heck he wanted to build. That's not going to go very well. Now, I think these verses, rightly understood, these verses can serve a very helpful and even therapeutic purpose for you and for me. They can be very therapeutic if we understand them correctly. First, I mean, this can happen in two ways. First, these verses can lead us to seriously and soberly ask our Father to show us the building projects that he has for each one of us. God, our Father's work in your life is not a side hustle, and it's not a nice little religious exercise in which he hopes that you'll participate. Oh, you know, I'm going to go teach this little Bible study so that I can feel better about myself, or I'm going to go serve in this thing over here, and that's really, but that's the limitation of, and it's just nice that I go and do these things. No. The building that he has for you to do is essential to your being. It's essential to your being, and it is eternal in impact. Eternal in impact. Our Father is very serious about the work that he has assigned for you to do. In fact, the Apostle Paul goes so far as to say this in Ephesians 2:10, that you are God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says this, you are the workmanship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are the workmanship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for you to do. You are God's workmanship. You've been bestowed upon you this incredible title, Son of God Most High, Daughter of God Most High. That title has been bestowed upon you. And in receiving that title, God our Father has created you to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for you to do, for you to step into that. This is not a joke. This is not a religious add-on. This is not a side hustle. This is not a Velcro to your life. This comes out of the essence of who our Father has created you to be. And when we understand that, we can come before our Father with great sobriety and absolute seriousness to consider 1 Corinthians 3, 12-13 and what I'm devoting myself to in my building energies. So these verses can be very helpful and therapeutic if we will allow them to sober us in the way we come to our Father and ask him for our building assignment. Secondly, these verses can sober us because they can show us the amount of confidence that's available, the kind of confidence that's available to any one of us who will walk in our kingdom building assignments. Can you imagine waking every day and putting your hands to work on projects that the creator of the universe assigned you. Projects in which the Holy Spirit of God is energizing you to win. Projects in line with Jesus' admission to deny yourself daily and to pick up your cross. Can you imagine the organic transformation that would happen inside of you from pride on the one hand to insecurity on the other hand? Can you imagine the internal punch you would have, strength you would have, if you woke up every day and relaxed back in, fully aware that you are going to devote your energy today to the kingdom building assignments that the creator of the universe has created you to engage? I mean, I don't know what the guy's doing in the cubicle next to you, or the gal's doing in the house next to you, or the guy's doing, or the gal's doing in floors above you, or what the guy's doing, or the gal's doing in floors below you. I got no idea. All I know is the opportunity is there for you to say that I'm going to get up today and I'm going to engage in the eternal work that the creator of the universe has assigned for me to be about in my life. Man, I don't care what your job is. The electrification of that, the clicking into that, the confidence that's available to that, they're just stiffen. I go from cowering or just kind of going through the motions to bam, bam, the confidence of walking out. Man, I am been made a son of my father, been made a daughter of my father with eternal purpose. And I'm stepping into that to build that which God our Father has called us and created me to build. You will never feel the fullness of your created intent apart from giving yourself to building what you were created to build. You're never gonna feel it. So when we say in Trexo that we train the ready in kingdom gaps that ignite passion, this is the kind of stuff that we're talking about, that ignite passion and light us on fire to achieve our divine purpose, to run the race that God our Father's marked out for us, to build that which God our Father's called us to build. This is the kind of stuff that we're talking about. All right, amen. I'm tracking with you so far. What exactly do building projects look like? How can a person discern their building assignments? That's a great question. The context of 1 Corinthians 3, and the entirety of the book of 1 Corinthians can give us great insight into the kind of building that the Apostle Paul is addressing. Remember, in the story of the church at Corinth, Paul founded the church in Corinth on his second missionary journey, Paul establishes the church in Corinth. When he gets to Corinth, he meets a man and a woman named Aquila and Priscilla, and they happen to be fellow tent makers. By trade, Paul is bivocational in his ministry. By day, he's making money selling tents, and by night, he's preaching Jesus everywhere. He meets a couple named Aquila and Priscilla, man and woman, and they are fellow tent makers. Their home in Corinth becomes Paul's base, and he goes into the synagogue, and he begins to reason with the Jews about Jesus being the resurrected Messiah. That's the introduction of the church of the gospel to the city of Corinth. As normally happened to Paul, he gets kicked out of the synagogue. Those Jews who believed in his message went with him. Then he starts a house church in the home of a guy named Titius Justus. Titius Justus is the host in the home church of the Apostle Paul and the church in Corinth. Acts chapter 18, verse 8 says, and many Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Acts 18:8 gives us the spot in time where the church in Corinth began. Here's the question. What was the church? Paul did not show up in Corinth to build a church. Catch that. He did not show up in Corinth to build a church. He certainly did not set out to build a physical building. Paul showed up in Corinth to reach and build people. As he built people, as he saved them, baptized them, loved them, and trained them, church was formed. Watch this. You can build a church and forget to build people. Paul was building people. What does it look like to build in the kingdom? It looks like building people. Look at the way in which Paul seeks to build people. Look at this building language that the Apostle Paul used, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 2, and look at how targeted it is at building people. 1 Corinthians 3, 1-2, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. So Paul has a goal to build men, to build people from infants to maturity. He is intentionally loving, Paul is intentionally loving and training them so that they will grow and become strong. Paul's building is all about people. Building assignments in the kingdom of God are all about building people. Now, there are a bunch of different ways we can get there, but the net of what we do is to build people. One person, one step, one issue at a time. So I regularly get asked to meet with people who are struggling to discern our Father's will for their lives. What has God my Father? They're struggling in some form with what God our Father's will is for their lives. In some form, they're going to use this line, I am struggling to know what God wants me to do with my life. I'm struggling to know what God wants me to do with my life. I will reply by asking whether they have ever considered the who. Have you ever considered the who? What is it God wants me to do in my life? What's the next step? My reply is, hey, have you ever considered the who? Instead of asking what God wants you to do, ask our Father who he wants you to build. Who he wants you to build. Because in the kingdom of God, advancing our Father's kingdom is all about people. We advance the kingdom of God one person, one step, one issue at a time. The Apostle Paul went into Corinth. It was all about building people. Does not Jesus, our teacher, an example of life, he's our teacher and the one who is our example for life, does he not model for us the value and importance of people? Does he not show on every page of the gospel his work is to reach and restore individuals, and then at the end of his life, he sends his disciples to continue his work. What work? To build people. Is not Jesus' work in your life, wherever, whatever form of squalor or darkness he found you in, the work of Jesus in your life was to deliver you and rescue out of the domain of darkness and deliver you into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of his beloved Son, whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, to adopt you out of the orphanage of the world and to deliver you into the family of God our Father, and then begin the process of rebuilding your life. You are a product of the building work of God our Father in the name of Jesus. And the exciting thing of our lives is when we awaken to the building that our Father is doing in us. For I am God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. Do you know what it feels like to have the master builder craft and shape the content of your soul? The kind of man that he's making you into, the kind of woman that he's making you into, and all the different persons in your life, people in your life that God our Father has brought with hammer and chisel to shape you into the man, into the woman that he is continually making you into. God our Father's work in your life is to build you. God our Father's work in my life is to build me, and he uses people to do it. And so as we get to enjoy the building process of God our Father in our own lives, now we turn around, and instead of being the one that gets hammered and chiseled on all the time, we get to be the one that is the hammer and the chisel and the life giver and the builder and the encourager in the lives of other people. Oh, it's powerful. It's powerful. So as your faith journey continues, your career, your vocation can take a whole lot of turns. However, one thing that should be consistently growing in your faith journey is your love for and valuing of people. How do I know that I'm growing in the Lord? One of the ways that you know that you're growing in the Lord is you are becoming far more reflexively aware of the people and the issues that the people are dealing with in your highways and byways. I'm not even asking you to go on a mission trip. Every day is a mission trip. I'm not asking you to do something different or to go to something different or adding something to your calendar. I'm just saying in your normal flow of life. You have any idea the number of people that you interact with in the normal flow of your life? One of the things that happens as we grow in our relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is we begin to see them a lot more with greater clarity. Our hearts for them begin to ache and long, and we begin to pray for them. We begin to ask them to lunch or to coffee or to breakfast. We begin to put ourselves in a position where we can hear their stories, because in the kingdom of God, our Father values people. The work of Jesus is to build people. The work of the Apostle Paul is to build people, so that you can move from being an engineer at company A to an engineer at company B, all the while growing in your building assignments to reach and restore people in that company. You can be in marketing. You can be a vice president. You can be a janitor. You can be a stay-at-home mom in this neighborhood, and then you move to that neighborhood. And what is changing in me is my understanding of the goal of reaching the people in my community. Who are the other stay-at-home moms? Who are the other moms in that community? If that's the calling that God our Father has on your life, you are an engineer. You are an economist. You are in leadership. You are a marketer. You are a mom. You are a whatever you are. You are one of those in disguise. You are Superman on a mission from God, masquerading as Clark Kent. Stepping into your building assignments. So what do we do with this? 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 13 can be a very stiffening passage, man. That can be a big time slap in the face. What do? In the first place, we confess, to the degree that I have not sought the who in my Father's will for my life. To the degree that I have taken on the title of Christian, but I have not given myself to building Christian things. To the degree that I have not looked to my Father. To the degree that I've not gone to my Father to ask the who, as I have tried to discern His will for my life. Well, I need to confess. I need to confess. There's no condemnation in this. There's no condemnation in this. This is a word of love, but it is a word of accountability. It is a word of sobriety. It is a word of life that is available to you. I confess, Father, in the name of Jesus, that I have not surrendered my hunger and my passion and my building projects. I have not surrendered the sweat of my brow to you. And Father, I do that today in the name of Jesus. I surrender the sweat of my brow. I confess that I have not done this. I ask you, Father, to forgive me of my sin and my errant ways, Lord God. And I pray that you would restore me now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And so we pray a prayer of confession. And then in that prayer, we say, Father, now I am here and I want to dedicate myself, my life, my blood, my sweat, my tears to advancing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I want to be about the building projects that you have for me and only the building projects that you have for me. I only want to be about your building projects. And so, Father, will you show me the who? Will you teach me the who? Will you teach me to see the who? And will you teach me to step into the storylines of the who that you have for me so that I can offer them love and life as you have offered me love and life, as you have used people in my life to build me. So too, Father, I pray that you'd send me in the lives of other people to build them as well. Get out a pen, piece of paper, get out a journal, and allow God our Father to speak. Share these things with mentors, with those who are potential running mates, and let them come alongside you and pray for you. And then to begin encouraged to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to minister to the lives of other people in your highways and byways, and watch what God our Father is going to do. Man, if this has been helpful to you, thank you for trusting me with some of your time. If this has been helpful to you in the kingdom of God, would you share it in your highways and byways? Would you share it with other people in the kingdom of God? Would you share it with your small group and use overflow content in your small group weekly as discussion points? Share it with pastors and ministry leaders and help me spread this kingdom understanding of what it looks like to walk in the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as always, just like it was in the life of Jesus, just as it was in the Apostle Paul, I am able to do what I do, put food on my table, pay for a house, and love my kiddos well and provide for my kiddos because of the generosity of people like you. If you've been affected by this in a positive way and you would like to bless our ministry, you can do that at trexo.org/donate. Trexo.org/donate. I will look forward to being with you again next time as we seek to really, truly dig in and understand what it looks like to live our lives in the overflow of the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us in The Overflow. To find a blog connected to today's session where you can engage with Jim and others, go to trexo.org/blog. This podcast is made available through the gracious giving of people just like you. If you would like to help us bring more people into the healing waters of our Father's love, you can do so at trexo.org/donate. We will be back next week for another edition of Overflow.